Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Here we are. The boys are in stride in this episode. That's how I look at it. Hot off of listening to episode 35 myself, the episode which awaits you in mere seconds. I like it. It's nice. Two dudes who have figured out what they're doing. They know that it doesn't mean the earth, but they're having fun doing it. This is us at, I guess, doing the math really quickly. What, like the 60 to 70% completion mark? I feel like there is an energy that the end is somewhat in sight. We're a little bit excited, I think, because this is when we started getting a few listeners coming in from the States and our numbers were going pretty good. So it's just the boys are in a good place in this ep. The guys are doing well. The movie remains the same. There's a lot of treats in this episode, and I would invite you to listen to the very end because there's a pretty great treat right in the final bit. It's very funny to hear us talking about Patty Schwartz as well as these episodes tick by. One day, God willing, we will have that beer with him, but I think now his star is on the rise so much that I think he might exit any possible stratosphere that we could hope to catch him, you know, approaching our realm. I think maybe that possibility has disappeared. But that's all right. We don't fucking need him. We've got him tattooed on our bodies. He's with us wherever we go until we die. Anyway, enjoy this episode. It's fun. It's nice. It's a good one. Goodbye.
I couldn't remember it. Hello and welcome to the worst idea of all time, episode number 35.
Slightly unorthodox introduction for what was a very orthodox watch of the movie. Just Tim and I, middle of the day, lounging about. I'm in shorts, just swanning around.
You look good. I said that as soon as I opened the door and you were
there. Yeah, and
you
your beard is coming along nicely.
Thanks,
Tim. And I think we should address this right off the top. Tim and I were just talking about it. What we would love to see from you is more selfies of wherever you're listening to the podcast.
Hard out,
people. Find it really interesting to know that people are like listening to this while they go about their lives.
It blows our mind that anyone's listening at all, to be honest. There's a friend of one of my flatmates came in and she listens to the podcast completely independently of knowing him. He didn't even put her onto it. She just listens.
Amazing. It's even more amazing that there are people in America who listen to this.
I love the fact that
a guy posted
we have Americans
on the Facebook page saying I'm starting to think in a Kiwi accent because he's been listening to the podcast so much.
Oh shit, I love that.
That must be confusing.
We don't pop up enough content for that to happen though. Maybe we need to do a podcast every day.
Just start cranking it
every day, mate.
I could watch it. I'm in such a good mood right now. I could watch this movie. No, I'm not going to say anything stupid, but I could watch this movie another 15 times or whatever.
What, today?
No, just in
I
general.
Have been thinking that for one of them, we could do like a charity drive where we lock ourselves into a room for 48 hours and the movie's just on repeat.
So we can we can do other things.
No, we're in a room.
Just us. So like no technology.
So it's on. Yeah. No technology. So it's actually no. To be funny,
that
if
would
it was
actually,
a bathroom.
That would. So this, you're coming back around to my idea for the bathtub special.
Yeah, but this is
two grown men in a lukewarm bath on a stage watching Grown Ups 2.
This is a way more nightmarish version of it. By the way, if this is the first episode that you've come in for some reason, this is a podcast in which myself and Guy Montgomery, I'm Tim Batt.
Guy Montgomery.
We watch the movie Grown Ups 2 once a week, every week, for a whole year. That's and right. We kind of review it afterwards.
Is this episode 35 or 36?
35.
You sure?
No, I'm really not.
It's not important.
Pretty sure.
What
it's
is time? Time is but a construct of man.
Exactly, and one that I am fast losing my grip on.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it was just.
But imagine that. Imagine if we did it for 48 hours, like
in a
toilet, and we live streamed without sound, just us, so people could watch us going
in
mental,
the news,
like sore.
I saw this pop up this morning. A woman in China got dumped by her boyfriend and spent the whole weekend in the KFC.
No, it was a whole week. Seven days. She was just in the K-Fry.
I mean, we can't compete with that.
I love that, bro. She
is
a girl
amazing,
after my own heart. And it had a file photo of it, and I hope it's her, not just some like stock photo they've got, because it was like, yep, that's what I expected.
Woman in a KFC.
It is a sad-looking Asian, like mid-20s girl in a K-Fry with her head down in a position that I've been in many times in KFC, not for a week, but when you just need to put your face against something cold after you've just like dominated.
This is another thing we discussed
pack.
Recently. I don't eat KFC at all.
Yeah, I find that terrifying. Oh.
Oh. Come on, phone's off.
Sorry, it's a new phone. I don't know how to work it.
Anyway, look, Tim, we've been dibbling around at the top of this thing. Let's crack into some content.
Okay.
sorry, a little cough there. How did you enjoy the movie?
Enjoyed it okay today, and that's largely due to the fact that we've accidentally kind of missed. I think it's been about 10 days instead of a week, apologies for that.
That is refreshing, though. As a podcaster and a viewer, that is a refreshing change. Come in with fresh eyes, you know?
All it takes is a couple of days more than the usual, and suddenly you're... Yeah,
then
you
do run into the...
whole new thing.
This is the high, and then the low is the turnaround this time. It's like, it's a short week, you know?
We took notes this time, and I think we should dive into them. The first is that you visited Peter Dante's website yesterday, which I haven't...
I've been snooping around Peter Dante's Twitter for a while now.
He's a good cat.
It never occurred to me... I can't remember the name of the site. It's something weird. He's a good cat. He retweets all this sort of like... he alternates between like retweeting Buddhist proverbs and just heaps of shit about weed.
Cool.
And I went to his website, and like it's a sight to behold, man. He's got all these old sketches. I watched this old sketch he did with Nick Swardson called The Fowler. But I think what got me most excited was he's released an album of music, which is available on iTunes. And then also as an add-on, he's released like 6 covers as free downloads on his site. So I downloaded Peter Dante singing Bob Marley's Redemption Song and was just marching around the house folding up my laundry yesterday while Peter Dante is just going fucking bananas in the background.
That's so good.
Yeah.
How is he as a singer? How's his voice?
Oh, he's like just
he's all right?
He's okay. He's just like a dude singing.
Shit,
but it's pretty
cool.
Amazing because, I mean, we were talking, we want to go to LA for the final episode and we'd love to secure some sort of name value from the movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
I reckon Peter Dante is our best bet.
He is. He's. But the thing is, I feel like he's such a positive guy, and he's so into his Buddhism by the looks of things.
Yeah,
that he might look at our project as maybe a touch mean spirited. Although it's not mean spirited, it's more experimental.
It's like I've often been worried about that, about this whole podcast thing.
The angle.
Kind
you think
of.
We're going to be blacklisted from Hollywood?
No, 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 no,
you're not going to be allowed to be a walk-on extra in a Happy Madison production.
I don't much care about that. But just the fact that it is kind of a slightly negative,
niggly
thing that's always been in the back
of my
mind.
If you hold anything up to this level of scrutiny, like if you did, like any, it doesn't matter what you'd watch.
Yeah.
If someone came and watched you do stand up comedy 52 times in a row, just as a point
a
of interest, and did a podcast deconstructing it every time.
Yeah.
That's different, isn't it? Because I mean, it was just different.
Because this thing doesn't change.
Yeah.
But
I was actually getting angry at some of the characters today.
How so?
Well, like when Selma Hayek was like, "Did you is this a present or something?"
Oh, it's at the start.
Yeah, and I was like, it wasn't a prison the last 34 times you brought it to you. Why the fuck would it be a prison the 35th?
I got mad at the party scene when Kyle, the squat aerobics instructor, vomits after Nick Swartzen hooks up with a dog. And it's like, why am I getting mad? Because it's in the movie, and the movie doesn't change. Like, me getting mad at it doesn't change. And there's quite a Buddhist lesson there, actually, which is like, what's that great Christian proverb? God give me the strength to accept the things I cannot change. No, fuck, what is it?
It's like just God.
Something. And the last one is, and the wisdom to know the difference. But it's like basically.
but I forget what's in the middle.
Change the shit.
I
can't remember the wording. So it's like, change the shit you can, let go of the shit you can't, and hopefully you're smart enough to figure out the difference between the two.
I see.
It's a good vibe, but I haven't clearly brought that onto heart because I keep getting pissed off at Kyle vomiting.
Well, and you don't even know the like passage or proverb that you're referencing.
Well, that too, but I understand the spirit of it.
Mm. So what else is on the notepad there?
There was a weird sound. If it sounded like I was pissing, I was just drinking water from a really big
glass.
Very
unprofessional. You wouldn't catch me doing that. Mm. Although we've both got little tickles in our throat, so sorry about that.
Yeah. Niggly wee ticklies.
What's on the
Keith switches position on bus continuity.
It's a kind of boring continuity
boring
error, but I did spot another continuity error in relation to Keithy on the bus.
But this boils into something cooler.
The fantasy world.
Yes. So if you watch it,
the fantasy world.
There's a bit where there's a shot where Keithy's on the right side of the bus, and then when it goes back to the shot, he's sitting on the left. And it's weird because
he's the only one left on the bus. We've talked about it before.
We were talking about this, yeah. Where he's
you know this stuff. So Keithy's still on the bus when they get to school.
Obviously,
we're assuming that there was a deleted scene they shot.
Exactly, we think something got cut. But so now what? I don't know if I... Nah, I do reckon it. Fuck it, I'm going with it. Is that Keithy stays on the bus and hides under one of the seats and witnesses the murder of Nick Swartzen, or the attempted murder of him.
Yeah. Watches the grown-ups just mucking around for a day and thinks to himself, these are not good people.
Yeah, and one of them's his dad. So, and it's all his best friends. So it's pretty scary. But I reckon Keithy stays on the bus as they go for their joyride.
I quite like that. I mean, there were a few. We were trying to create a few alternate realities for the film. The other one was, because the first line, M. Sandler tells he tells Selma Hayek to open the window. There's a deer in the house. I don't quite know why he thinks it's going to solve the problem. But he's like, honey, your mother is visiting from Mexico. I need you to go and open the window. So what if Selma Hayek gets up, opens the window, and the deer just runs straight through the bedroom?
And that would be the ideal. Like, that would be the best.
I guess that's what he's going for. Jumps out of the window and breaks both of its front legs on the lawn. And then the whole movie is just Adam Sandler and his family dealing with this really fucked up deer, which is still alive, but presumably immobile and in a lot of pain.
Do you know what that Adam Sandler movie would be called?
What?
My Deer Wife.
And he has to marry... Yeah. He falls in love with the deer or something. He has to marry the deer.
Yeah, because he nurses it back to health eventually and plaster casts it. But honestly, dealing with a full-grown adult deer, this thing is enormous.
Yeah.
Dealing with that with broken limbs at the front of your yawn in suburban Connecticut would be a fucking trip, dude.
That would be too real, bro. Imagine
it's not a good day.
You see it jump out and you're like, oh my God, thank God the deer's gone out of the room.
Yeah.
You hear the crack. You hear the deer's cry in pain. You're like, oh shit. And you run downstairs, you're confronted by the image of a full-grown, a majestic beast here on God's green earth, just wincing and screaming.
And it would go for so long.
It would be flapping its front body, but its legs are broken. Because
it wouldn't bleed out. It wouldn't necessarily have any lacerations.
And I mean...
that would lead to arteries bleeding out or anything. So it would just be there busted up. And because it's
the whole family. Can you imagine how traumatic that would be for the kids? Or his daughter, Becky?
My God, Becky, you need to see a therapist after that for years. You never trust your father again. Probably relationship issues after that.
Well, I mean, what could have been, really, isn't it? That's the situation we've walked into there.
It'd be an interesting fucking movie, and probably one that I prefer. Hey, there's one thing that we've talked about a lot, you and I, Guy, while the movie's, and this happens a lot. We talk about something while the movie's playing, but then we kind of forget to get to it in the podcast. And for about 10 weeks now, we've noticed that Lemonsoft claims a victory, which he does not
Yes, of course.
So in the fictional TV show within the movie, which is the soap opera.
No, it is actually Eric Days of Our Lives. They got naming rights to Days of Our Lives.
Oh,
but
okay.
The actual actors, obviously, because right. It's Chris Berman, a sportscaster for ESPN. Go you Broncos.
Go Broncos. And in it,
I got Demaryius Thomas on my fantasy team. He's bloody blitzing it, mate. He pulled in 2 touchdowns the last 2 games. He's single-handedly dragging me back into playoff contention.
Yeah, all of that. See, this is why we've got such a big American audience. You're following the NFL. You're such a big fan of lacrosse. You know, we'll get to that.
We've got so much to talk about. Just
anyway,
ball of energy.
In the movie, Eric Lemonsoff, we're introduced to him. I think the first sequence we see of him is with his mum. He's just exiting, and she says, Are you going to come back and watch Days of Our Lives later on? He said, of course, we have to find out which twin
murdered Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to the house,
yeah.
And we see a snippet from Days of Our Lives. He's watching it with his mother, and Ronaldo walks into the room, and the nurses say, it couldn't be. We killed you. And he goes, do you honestly think 2 amateurish nitwits could kill the great Ronaldo? And then Kevin James says,
I told you so.
No, I called it.
Oh,
he says, I called it. Come on, Tim. You got to learn these lines, mate.
No. She says that. He says, I told
you. You did.
So.
You called it. Oh,
yeah, yeah,
God.
Yeah. He says, I told you.
You called
so.
Me.
Yeah, I did.
Anyway, but that's not what he called at all.
It isn't. He clearly thought that one of the twins
had murdered Ronaldo. Was dead. Unless at some point in his action-packed morning between joyriding on the bus and going to Kmart, he called his mum and he'd come up with a theory. He'd been ruminating on
Fuck,
it.
Fuck, that's intense.
And he said, mum, I don't think Ronaldo got murdered. I think the twins conspired to try and kill him, but he evaded death somehow.
And he's doing
And he'll
a lot
reemerge
of stuff.
In this episode.
And there was even a deleted scene that takes up even more time of him buying a frozen pretzel when he's Kmart, which is actually kind of a funny scene. I thought it was funny.
No, but the thing is, I think with the deleted scenes is that we watched them and they were a breath of fresh air from stale meal that we're getting served up week after week.
I'm just going to whack my shining light in right now.
Yeah, do
you
it.
Ready for it? It's
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Stone Cold Steve Austin portraying Tommy Kavanagh, our antagonist to the film star, Adam Sandler.
If you could call any of the characters an antagonist. Taylor Lautner's an antagonist.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, so is Kavanagh. I wonder if there's like a relationship between them two. Anywho, it's my shining light is simply Stone Cold Steve Austin saying the words sack of potatoes.
Sack of potatoes. Yeah.
What does he say? You land me one on the chin, I'll go down like a sack
I'll
of potatoes.
Go down like a sack of potatoes. Okay. Southern drawl.
Oh man, actually he's Texan, eh? Texas accent is so good when he says sack of potatoes. It's so awesome. I fucking love it.
You do.
Have you got a shining light this week, guy?
I was just trying to think of one. I know I came up with one during the film, but it's completely evaded me since.
We can come back to it.
I did enjoy, from memory, I did really enjoy, I think I've said it before, when they're at the quarry on the clifftop and they're doing the smack talk, like it's Taylor Lautner's crew versus Adam Sandler's crew, and David Spade does an insult, and then he turns to them and he goes, he like waggles his tongue inside his mouth, and he's like doing his little jazz fingers. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
nice little ad-lib from David Spade.
Which is funny because that ad-lib from David Spade is really similar to the bus driver one from Adam Sandler. But Sandler's one we detest for its laziness. So are we really double standardsing?
It's possible.
The boys, no, the lads.
Adam Sandler doesn't make a noise, and it's also the focal point of the shot. David Spade's is an Easter egg that he's tucked in there.
That's true. That's true. This brings me to an interesting point, because for about the last dozen watches or so, I've experienced this weird thing with the movie now where I physically can't pay attention to what's in focus.
You've told me about this.
And I can only look at the background now, so like extras or set.
There's a lot to see.
Whatever. And I don't really have anything to extrapolate on that, but it's just an interesting phenomenon that if you watch a movie enough times, and I assume this is probably the same if you study a great piece of art for long enough, you actually can't draw your eye to what's in focus anymore. You're always so attracted by trying to find a new element.
Well, I don't think you're attracted to find a new element. I think it's pure escapism, plain and simple. I think you're just trying to somehow climb through the action of the movie and into another world in which maybe you're following different characters.
Considering,
and this is why we've been speculating all morning.
I've got such a terrible attention span. It's probably some sort of like neurological survival mechanism for me. It's amazing what the mind does when you put it under pressure.
The mind
and
is
duress.
Amazing, isn't it?
Like the brain will always try and look out for its best interest. It's not always the best at doing it.
That's the thing. I was having a discussion with someone recently about adrenaline, and when you're in a sort of a, you get on stage as well sometimes when you're in a do or die moment and you have to act very quickly.
Yeah.
And you feel like time slows down. You have that sort of feeling of like suddenly everything and you see in clear focus.
Yeah.
That's not your brain moving quicker. That's your brain shutting down like every unnecessary extra bit that you're concerned with. So like that's your brain literally just limiting your capacity to think to specifically that one thing that's confronting you in that moment.
That is awesome. I'm living with two doctors at the moment, so I'm learning a lot about like the different parts of the brain, like the reptilian brain and how that fucking does.
I can imagine that shit would be sending you spinning in circles.
Oh,
mate.
I love it. I love
it. Okay, look, back to the podcast.
I guess.
It's time for Paddy Schwartz Party Time. It's Paddy Schwartz Party Time. It's Party Time with Paddy Schwartz. Now, Patrick Schwarzenegger does something very funny in the movie today. I assume he's been doing it in the rest of the movies. Not all the movies he's been in.
He's
another guy who I've actually been sniffing around Paddy Schwartz on Twitter. I even chucked him a retweet the other day. Just trying to raise some awareness with Paddy Schwartz.
Imagine if we sat down and watched a movie with Paddy Schwartz, man.
Fuck. He's another guy. Now, he's a Christian guy. So he's another guy who I think might look at this as being a mean-spirited project. I'd say so. It wouldn't surprise me if Arnie was a Christian.
He's quite a prominent figure in Republican politics, Arnie, so it would...
Yeah, it would go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Wait a minute. Is he? Or is he Democrat? Maria Shriver was in the Kennedys. Nah, he must be Democrat. What am I talking about? Fuck, I'm going to Google that later.
Who knows? God, it's going to be an exciting afternoon in the world of Timbat. Patrick Schwarzenegger cocks an eyebrow in one of the scenes. Like, it sort of is just... And I believe the reason he did it, because it's not really in place. There's no place for him to cock an eyebrow. It's just because when he applied for the job, and don't get this twisted, he took his CV in and applied for the job. Underneath the heading acting skills, one of them said, can raise eyebrow on demand. And now the director, there was no call for this movement while shooting, but Patrick Schwarzenegger thought, look, I got hired for this job, not on my name, but on the back of my fully sick acting CV. And I'll be damned if I'm not going to squeeze every single skill I have into this film. And accordingly, he cocked his eyebrow. And that is how Paddy Schwartz parties.
Good on you, guy. I like that reading of his personality, because he still strikes me as a guy who is trying really hard. And they're my favorite people. People who aren't necessarily the most talented, but they're fucking hard workers, you know?
Yeah, you got to respect a hard worker. When I was younger, I always thought... For me, it took a while. I was always quite lazy because I was naturally like okay enough at things to just get by without actually really putting in the effort. And I always thought that eventually, if you just do that, good things will arrive.
What, if you try or if you just,
it's just, you know, opportunity will fall into your lap.
God, and I'd look at hard for you. That's terrible.
I know.
The universe has reinforced the worst elements of your white privilege.
No. Well, this is the thing is I got a handle on it because you're absolutely right. But then I was like, nothing was happening. And I was like, you've got to try all the time.
Right.
And then like it flicked a switch. And suddenly when I used to look at people who tried hard, I'd be like, you should try less hard and we should hang out. I was like, you got to try hard at everything. It's a little life lesson with Guy Montgomery.
I dig that. You
got to try hard. Conan O'Brien does some good. He said a good thing about it.
When he
got booted off the Jay Leno, the Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yeah.
It's like, work hard, or maybe it was a bloody graduation speech at Stanford or something. Work hard, be kind to people, and amazing things will happen. That's what Conan O'Brien says.
Did he in that speech have a bit about how he talked about, like, be nice to people because you never know who you'll end up working for or who'll be your boss? Was that?
He did, like, it was insane. I think it was a commencement speech because he did a big, he did just rattled off a shit ton of jokes and then just flipped it at the end and was like, boom, and some truth.
Yeah, I remember being in one of those, what are those hats called? The graduation caps?
Hats.
With the square boards.
The hat.
They've got a name.
The university hat.
It's definitely got a name.
Don't forget your university hat. You're graduating today.
Speaking of university, lacrosse. We've never really talked about this, but the college kids, they show up. And actually in the car as well, one of them's carrying a lacrosse.
Yeah.
What's the terminology for it? A racket?
I'd call it a stick.
Stick.
I mean, I don't know the proper terminology.
But you would like,
you'd do some damage in a fight with a lacrosse stick, by the way. I don't know how they weren't using those more. I mean, it was an all-in-all, an out-and-out fight.
We had an exchange student when I went to high school in Wellington who was from America, and he kind of brought a bit of lacrosse in, and so we got nets and shit with sticks or whatever they're called, and we played a little bit. But just like, I think we start off with tennis balls because if you use the full ball and you fuck up, that shit will hurt. But it's quite an amazing game.
Is it a
game.
Hard ball, is it?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like a... I think you use a similar one to like a field hockey. You know how...
Oh, that is hard.
Yeah. It's that plastic, but super hard.
That seems insane.
Yeah, but you got to get distance. That's the thing. Yeah. If it was any softer, it wouldn't have the weight to carry.
It's a fully sick sport.
It looks pretty cool.
I've seen it on ESPN. They play in college and they broadcast the games.
Huge.
I don't know why it doesn't translate to a professional sport. Because it is like... It's ruthless, bro. You're running around, and it's highly skilled. You're running around with the stick and this ball, just fucking throwing and catching and just clearing dudes out.
I think it's real massive in certain circles, but I think it's got the stigma of being associated with real rich white
college
boys.
Yeah,
boys,
is it like a collegiate sport?
Yeah, very much so, which strangely is how rugby is treated in England, because here in New Zealand, it's like everyone's sport. It's everyone's sport.
Yeah, yeah.
And in
rugby sure is popular here in New Zealand.
We do love it. No one else loves rugby, bro. Just us.
No one else loves it like us. South Africa might. I haven't been.
No.
They love rugby. Don't get it. Like, they sell out Alice Park when the Springboks play.
That's true, actually. They do love rugby. But like...
Australians do not.
It's about number four or five. England, it'll be about four.
America, it doesn't even...
America,
although
it's
we're
not
going,
a sport.
The All Blacks are playing a game in Chicago... And I watched the trailer video for it. Fuck, Americans ramp up sports to a million. Like, they put in just these insane, like, movie and television production values to the matchups. Like, Eagles, All Blacks. And, like, fucking a shot of the skyline and bloody Batman driving his motorbike or something.
There's no wonder their whole country's ADD. They've just got so much, like, production everywhere for everything.
Everything is highly produced.
That's why I'm going to move there.
You notice it bleeding into sports coverage in Australia and New Zealand as well.
Oh, yeah. Because,
like, all the build-up, all the hype, the pomp and ceremony around sports games is just getting out of hand. It's bigger than the game.
But...
Shit, this has been a rambling podcast.
It's good to have one of those every now and then.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
It's been a real change of pace, I think.
Oh, yeah. Fun fact. I don't know if this is true. I'm pretty sure it's true. I think America still holds the most recent rugby Olympic championship. They last did it in like very early 1900s, 1930 or some shit.
No way.
And then they never
There's
did
no
it
way
again.
The All Blacks would have lost back then.
I will look
don't,
it up
no,
right now.
No, don't look it up. It's not interesting enough. No, we've got to round this out. We've got to do the Steve Buscemi mystery tour.
Oh, the Steve Buscemi mystery tour
is coming to take you away. Coming to take you away. Take you away. Do you want it or do I want it? I haven't come up with one, but I'm happy to.
Yeah, fuck, I haven't either, actually, to be honest.
Okay, so the Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour is the segment of the movie in which we explore what injury could have possibly caused the symptoms described by Steve Buscemi or Wiley in Grown Ups 2. The facts we are given is he only has 40% feeling in his body and his arms have been in the touchdown position for 2 years. I think what happened is Steve Buscemi was riding... a penny farthing, which is one of those silly old bicycles with the big front wheel and the little back wheel, which is, that's one of my favorite parts of Jackass, is I think Ryan Dunn's like, who designed this bike? And it's so true. Who the fuck designed a penny farthing and got it across the line? It is insane. You see how high they are? Like, just make a bike with fucking two of the same size wheels, bro. It's easy.
Is it something to do with, like, the cogs and things? Like, the amount of workload and the physics and stuff that's going on to do with the fact that one wheel is big and one's little? No. So it produces...
You might be right. But, I mean, it just seems like...
Well, there's no new thing in a regular bike, though, eh? No, it's all still mechanical.
I do not see
cogs.
How someone didn't look at that and go, you need to make that front wheel smaller and that back wheel bigger and it'll be perfect. Anyway, so Steve Buscemi was showing off to Chris Rock and the gang on his penny farthing, riding it round, and Adam Sandler was probably going, what? It's ridiculous. He's probably having the exact same conversation we just had. And then Chris Rock goes, hey, watch this. And he picks up a stick and he runs across and he puts the stick into the spokes of the front tire.
Wow.
And Steve Buscemi goes tumbling over the handlebars and lands with his arms, and that explains the arms above the head. He lands with his arms above his head because he's flailing, because we all know they're bad jumpers from the quarry.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how it happened. Just
a penny farthing.
A penny farthing accident. Classic. Reeks of Sandler.
Do you want to elaborate onto why Wiley was on a penny farthing in the first place at all?
Because he left after high school. He used to get bullied by them, but after high school he left and joined the circus. So he picked up a lot of circus skills.
He
and
would
now
too.
Whenever he sees them, he wants to show off. He wanted to show off his circus skills.
He's got the look of a carny, especially in this film. I was 6 years off, but otherwise correct. It was 1924 when the last Summer Olympics,
the All Blacks,
that the rugby union was in.
Doesn't say.
It does, but I'm not looking it up again. But the US won gold in that, and it's never been there again. Have we covered all of our segments?
Yeah, man.
So.
We've
our
got the Shining features. Lights, the Patty Schwartz Party Time, the Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour.
Again, I want to impress upon everyone the opportunity, importance, and our love for you sending in a little selfie of yourself listening to the podcast. Just because I'm bored, man. I want to see your pretty faces.
I'm just curious about where and when people are... Like, people might be doing this when they're going grocery shopping.
Yeah.
I mean...
If you can't be bothered liking
our Facebook...
Do you
think anyone's ever made love to the dulcet sound of the worst idea of all time?
That's something Matt used to say all the time. He said, Matt, who I used to produce for on a radio show the last couple of years, he was like, he would always say, it'd be like, good afternoon, wherever you're listening, if you're making love to the partner of your choice.
That's so good.
I really hope that someone has had sex. But
that's more likely
this.
Because you'd have the radio on in the background. Yeah. Oh, you could have this on in the background and someone...
You could have like a little...
If you have had sex while listening to the podcast, give us a yell.
But
and
we don't need
we'll
a photo
give you a
of
shout
that.
Next week. No, we don't
we,
need,
we
a,
don't
photo
need a photo
of
that. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say, don't send us a photo of
no
that.
No selfies of that.
Because that's not the angle we're taking with this puppy.
It's more out of curiosity, really.
Yeah.
It is vanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess the whole thing's a vanity project.
Sure is. And it's over for this episode. So thanks for joining us. And if you can't be bothered going to the Facebook page to post your photo up, just flick it on the Twitter. He's guy_mont. So GUY_MONT. And I'm Tim_bat.
Shit, mate. You're clogged up.
I sound terrible, eh?
Yeah, you sound real nasal.
Right. Time to bail.
Au revoir.
Oh, pirates, yes, there are I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from that bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hands of the Almighty. Move forward in this generation triumphantly. Oh, won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause they're all I ever had. Redemption song. Redemption song.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.